Okay, today's daf is Nida Mem Aleph. I'm just going to review where we were up to, and I put it also on the sheet for today to help you out. So Rabbi Yochanan, if you remember, let's go even back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said that a Yotzei Dofen is a Leida Regila. Chachamim said Yotzei Dofen is not considered a regular birth for purposes of Dam Tuma, Dam Tohar, and Korban. But Rabbi Shimon said it was the same. However, Rabbi Yochanan comes and says that when it comes to Kodashim, when it comes to sacrifices, a Yotzei Dofen is not sanctified and can't be used for a Korban. Then we tried to bring a Braita to support Rabbi Yochanan, and that's where we ended yesterday. The Braita said, Yachol Shani Marbeh, I'm just quoting the part that's relevant, Et Ha Yotzei Dofen. Right, you might think we could have included the Yotzei Dofen in the cases where if it went on the Mizbeach, you don't have to take it down. Talmud Lomar, Zot. It said Zot to exclude the case of Yotzei Dofen. So the Gemara ended with, My Lav, we're on the fourth line of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. My Lav Yotzei Dofen de Kodashim. Aren't we talking about a Yotzei Dofen in Kodashim? Which then says, and the author of that opinion in the Braita was Rabbi Shimon, which would then prove Rabbi Yochanan, that a Yotzei Dofen, if it went on the Mizbeach, you have to take it off. It's really Pasul. Which again would say that a Yotzei Dofen in an animal is not sanctified and can't become sanctified. So Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua, Bered Rav Natan, Lo, Yotzei Dofen de Bechor. No, actually we're not talking about a Yotzei Dofen of Kodeshim there. We're talking about a Yotzei Dofen of Bechor, because Bechor, for sure Yotzei Dofen is not a Bechor. And that's the case that they mean. That's a much more severe case, right, where there, a Bechor is only going to be considered a firstborn animal if it's born a regular birth, because it says Petarechem. And that's why Zot comes to exclude the case of a Bechor, that if it went on the Mizbeach, you have to take it off. So now the Gemara says, but Bechor, if you're going to say it's Bechor, mi Petarechem nafka. But you don't need the Pasuk Zot to teach you that. Remember Zot with the Olah, right? Zot Zotorat Olah, he Olah, I don't remember that's the words, Olah Mizbeach, or he Olah Mukda, I think it is. But anyway, you wouldn't need to learn that from here. You learn it from Petarechem. So we're back to, it is approved for Rabbi Yochanan because it's talking about Kodashim. So then they say, Elamai. But then what are you going to say according to that? Kodashim me'imo imo nafka. Also Kodashim can be learned from imo imo. So therefore they say, wait, hi mai. So what's the case here? So now they say, okay, so assuming either which way we're going to have two psukim. So which one does it make more sense to say there's two psukim for? So they're going to say that an animal that's sanctified, it's going to make a lot more sense to say that there's two psukim. Why? Chad lebehemat chulin de'olid derech dofen ve'akdashe. There's one type of animal that is a regular animal, was born yotzei dofen, and then, and the mother was a regular animal, the birth was a Yotzei Dofen, and then they took the animal and they sanctified it. Okay, that's a classic case. That's one pasuk you need to say. In that case, if you put it on the Mizbeach, you have to take it off. V'chad lebehemah kodeshim de'olid derech dofen. And the other one is for a behemah of kodeshim that was born derech dofen. What does that mean? This is that the mother was already sanctified. If you remember, we call that Vlad Kodashim, and it's Kadosh. Now, this is a bit of a debate about it. Okay, so let's read the next line. Because Savar Vladot Kadoshim Bahavayatan Hen Kadoshim. Remember, there was a debate about this. We've seen a bunch of times that the Vlad, the animal born from a mother who was already sanctified, it has inherent sanctity, but is it sanctified when it's born, when it comes out of the womb? That would be Bahavayatan, or is it Biyitziratan when she gets pregnant with the animal? Was it already Kadosh Merechem?
Sanctified before birth.
What?
Sanctified before birth.
Before birth. So now, listen to this. So now there's a bit of a problem with this line, because you would think the bigger chidush is what? You want to find a case where it wasn't sanctified before it was born. That was the first case, meaning it went Yotzei Dofen and then became sanctified. And now you want to find a case where it was sanctified
before
the Yotzei Dofen. So Rashi says, get rid of this line, because this line doesn't make any sense. Vlado Kedoshim Bavayatanin Kedoshim means it was sanctified at the birth, not before the birth. So get rid of that line, Rashi says. Tosfos says, no. You can say that maybe you would have thought that since they both happen at the same time, right? Because it's a Yosei Dofen, and at that exact same moment it becomes Kadosh, and therefore you might have thought that that has, again, that would have, either which way you look at it, whether you say it's sanctified in utero or as it comes out, it would have more Kedusha to it. You might have more reason to think, well, this at least was sanctified before, or at least at the same time it was the Yosei Dofen, and maybe if one of them was Veil, he'd be allowed to leave it there. Comes the second pasuk to say no. Okay, so that would only apply to Kodeshim that have an option of before and after. But Bechor doesn't have an after option. It's always Kadosh Merechem. There is no case where it's born and then it becomes sanctified. So there's no reason for two psukim. And therefore, Eli'i amar to Bechor mipeta rechem nafka. Okay, Bechor, it's all learned from that one pasuk, and you have no need for two psukim. So we're back to saying we can prove Rabbi Yochanan from this braita, because this braita must be referring to the case of Kodeshim. Hachinami mistabra, further proof for this opinion, because midekatane, it says in the same braita, ha-hovea va-nirba va-mukta va-neva va-kilayim. Now the following five things are learned out also from other psukim. Hane v'hachanavka mehatamnavka. Also, you're going to say these are all learned from Zot. All these are learned from other verses. Okay, I'll show you the two psukim first before we darshan them. One's Vayikra Aleph pasuk bet. Dabar b'nei Yisrael amarta lehem. Adam ki akriv mikem korban la'Hashem min habeima min habakar u'min atzom. We're going to darshan all that. Takrivu et korban chem. The next is Vayikra kaf bet pasuk kaf zayin. Shor o kesev o ez ki yivaled. This is the pasuk we saw yesterday. Vayashivat yamim tachad imo. For 7 days it will be under the auspices of its mother. U'mayom ha'shmini. And from the eighth day, it can be used as a korban. So, minabema lotzi harove avanirba. Okay, so minabema, again, we're back to the first pasuk, comes to exclude, has to be from a beima, not a rove avanirba, one who was sodomized or sodomized. Min habakar lotzi atane avad. Min habakar comes to say, only bakar, not an animal that was used for avodah zarah purposes. Minatzon, obviously this doesn't relate particularly to bakar tzon or behema. It's just using it as it's teaching something additional. Min hatzon, or teaching, excluding something. Min hatzon, again, why is it excluding? Because min, from always means not everything. Lohutzi et hamukta. Min hatzon comes to exclude an animal that was designated for avodah zarah purposes. U min hatzon, the vav, lohutzi et hanogeach, an animal that gores someone. Vitu, right? Not all of these drashot are relevant for our purposes. That wasn't on our list, that last one. Vitu, kilayim, and if we go continue in the list of the braita, what about kilayim? Mehachanavka, what you're going to learn it from Zot? Mehatamnavka, it's learned out from a different pasuk. Shor o kesev o es. Shor, prat le kilayim. Okay, it's really shor o kesev. It's either a shor or a kesev, not a combination of the two. O es, prat le nidme. This is some other halacha we learned, that if the animal looks like, remember, if you have two of the same type of animal, that gave the male and female of the same type of animal, give birth to an animal that looks like a different animal. Okay, this goes back to all those weird births we saw of, you know, birth defects, etc. If their animal looks like a different animal, it also can't be used as a korban. So therefore, what do you see? Ele itzrichu trei chai. Clearly, again, all those things are learned from Zot and are learned from somewhere else. So you need two psukim, chal lebeimat chulim v'chal lebeimat kochim. So the only way to explain the two psukim for all of those is to say one is behemat chulim and one is behemat kochim, right? That was already kadosh before birth or during birth. So therefore, hachanami will say the exact same thing when it comes to the kodashim, the behemat kodashim, itzrich trei krai. Okay, and therefore we conclude, in fact this is a support, that braita was actually referring to a behemat kodashim and not a bechor. And then we say very nicely, and that's our proof for Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Shimon in fact holds, okay, let's just go full circle, that even though by humans a cesarean's birth will be considered a regular birth for laws of Tamin, Tumantara, and Korban. But when it comes to animals, for sacrifices, that's a different category, and we don't count it as a birth. One could say, by the way, that what's the reason to distinguish? Maybe because, right, one could maybe distinguish animal-human, you can go that direction, but I think also when we learned about Kodshim, we learned that there's all sorts of unique halachot by sacrifices. And it's a different level, it's almost a different plane. And because of that, we treat it differently and more stringently, and it has to be an actual real birth. And versus when we're talking about Tumantara of humans, yeah, that's just on a regular plane. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're moving on to a bit of a different topic. This actually connects a little with the last parak. Hamakshash shlosha yamim. Okay, this is a good review. A woman has contractions for 3 days with bleeding before birth. V'yatzav la derech dofen. Now, what do we normally say? What do we learn from our last parak? If she's bleeding 3 days with contractions without a break and then gives birth, that's not called zava blood. We're going to, again, if it's in her zava days, if it's in her nida days, she's considered a nida. But if it's zava, we're not considering her a zava. She's just, those are bloods all connected with the birth. But that's only if there's actually a birth. But if yatzav la derech dofen, according to Tanakama, who doesn't view yotzei dofen as a regular birth, harezo yoledet bezov, because you're missing the birth. There really is no birth. So you can't say the contractions are associated with birth when the birth comes throughout a C-section. Now, I see your face, you're laughing a little, but it actually makes a lot of sense, because a C-section, first of all, if you know, normally a C-section doesn't necessarily mean it was exactly ready to come out, or...
But often it suggests an unsuccessful birth. That is, that the labor pains are part of birth, it just didn't work, and they need to...
Right. It's true. It's definitely true. You could argue either which way, but you could see reason for saying this is not a typical birth, and therefore, and the contraction didn't actually bring the birth, necessarily. Again, it could have caused a need for the birth, but, right? But, again... This is the plane of Tanakama and Chachamim, who view, Vlad Derech Dofen as a unique type of thing, not a birth. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Zo Yoled Bezov. This is not Yoled Bezov because this was a birth. Okay, so what if it was Derech Dofen? That's the first thing in the Braita. That one's pretty self-explanatory. The second part is going to be very complicated. Dam Hayotze Misham Tamei. Rabbi Shimon Mitaher, the blood that comes from there is Tamei. I'm specifically not explaining what is there. Okay, what do you think there would be based on what we're saying? There sounds like that came out Derech Dofen, right, from the son. But we're going to have to see. Not everyone explains that way. Rabbi Shimon Mitaher, Rabbi Shimon says, no, the dam that comes Derech Dofen is not Tamei. It's in fact Tahor. So Bishlama Reisha, the Reisha we understand very well. Rabbi Shimon the Tamei, Rabbi Nan the Tamei, right? They each follow their Shita. Is it a regular birth? Is it not? As I explained. Ela seifa b'may pligi, but what's the machloket in the second part? So we're going to have three interpretations here. Amar Ravina, kigon sheyatzav la derech dofen v'dam derech rechem. The case is that the birth was derech dofen, but the blood was derech rechem. Now this is not what we said. We said dama yotzei misham tameh. Misham sounded like derech dofen, but he says no. The body comes out derech dofen, but the blood comes out derech rechem. Now, az derech, right, that means basically the normal way the blood would come out in a regular birth. Va'az de Rabbi Shimon l'ta'amei, v'rabbanan l'ta'amayu, and then we say very simply, right, blood that came derech rechem from the birth, right, obviously the bleeding there did relate to the birth, even though the birth happened as a C-section, but the fact that blood came out of the woman's body, it was associated with birth according to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it's not zava blood. And according to Chachamim, no, it's zava blood because we don't consider a yotzei dofen a birth. Okay, so then they follow their shitot exactly. So matkef la Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, I have two problems with your explanation, Ravina. Chada dahainu resha. Well, then you're basically saying the exact same thing as the beginning part. The second part of the Braita teaches you the exact same halacha as the first part. It seems irrelevant to have to say that twice. Ve'od, and secondly, as we said, misham makom vlad mashma. Misham sounds like where the vlad was coming out, which is the C-section and not the regular place of birth. So, ela amar Rav Yosef, he gives a different interpretation. Kegon shiatza vlad vidam derech dofen. What happens? The blood comes out with the body through the side. Okay, so now, what's the machloket at them? Why would you even think to be metame blood like that? So, what's the machloket? Ubu makor makomo tame kamiflage. This is a machloket we've seen before, which is the uterus, since the blood from the uterus is tame, do we assume, right, and that's when it comes out vaginally, do we assume that there's also a type of tumah, anything that passes by the uterus, as it touches the uterus, if the uterus, do we say the uterus, the location of the uterus is Tameh, and causes impurity to items that come in contact with it? So if you say, right, Mar Savar Chachamim will say, Mekor Mekomo Tameh, and that's why the blood that comes out is going to be Tameh. And Rabbi Shimon, Mitaher, right, notice the words, Dama Yotzei Misham Tameh, according to Tanakama, because the blood touched the uterus, and became tameh. Rabbi Shimon mitaher, why? Because he holds mar saval mikor makamot tahor. Very simply. That's explanation number two. Explanation number three is Rish Lakish. Amar Rish Lakish lidivrei hamitameh badam. By the way, I just want to point out, usually he would come and like disagree, okay? But the like in the first case it says Ela Amar Rav Yosef, but it doesn't say here Ela Amar Rish Lakish, because Rav Yosef was in Bavel, Rish Lakish was in Eretz Israel. They probably just kind of tacked it onto the sugya. It wasn't like there was a discussion going on. Rish Lakish also lived before Rav Yosef, so you know, also Amar Rish Lakish lidivrei hamitameh badam mitameh beisha lidivrei hamitaher badam mitaher beisha. The one who says you're tameh, Adama Yotze Misham tameh, holds that the woman is tameh tuma nida also. Okay, so this blood comes out derech dofen, according to Chachamim, it's dam tameh, and she becomes a nida from this, even though the blood's not coming out vaginally. It's very interesting. And l'divrei mitaher badam, mitaher ba'isha. And the one who says the dam is tahor is going to say that the woman is also tehora. She's not nida here. And again, according to Rish Lakish, we're talking about blood coming out derech dofen. And the question is, does it make the woman a nida or not? Rabbi Yochanan, he disagrees with Rish Lakish and says, Amar, af ledivrei mitameh badam, mitaher ba'isha. Even if you say that the dam is mitameh, the woman still, the dam itself could be tameh. Meaning, because you would have to say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's because makor makomo tameh. Right, it touched the uterus on its way out. It's tameh, but it doesn't make the woman a nida. Right, there's two different types of tumas here. One is tumat nida, that has to happen with blood that comes from the uterus out through the vagina, and other blood we're going to have to say if it comes out some other way. Well, that doesn't make her a nida. It could be tameh blood because it touched the uterus, but it doesn't make her a nida. Okay, so there's machloket about within shitat chachamim here whether, according to Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, whether they're mitaher the woman or the mitameh the woman. But as the Rabbi Yochanan the tameh, Rabbi Yochanan goes l'shitato, because he says in another place, Tam Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, minayin she'eni shatmea ad shiatza madva derech ervata. How do we know that she's only going to be a nida if her blood comes out derech her erva? She'ne'emar v'isha she'yishkav et isha dava. This is a man and a woman who have sexual relations when she's in nida. Vigila et ervata, and he revealed her erva. So here you see this connection between damnida and her makom erva. Et makora hera, that's right, he revealed her makor, where the blood was coming from. So here you see, that has to come out. Now, this is not exactly the pshat, the pasuk, but he learns the connection. Milamed she'eni shatmea ad shiatza madva derech ervata. And therefore, he thinks if the blood comes out derech tofen, she's not a nida. Okay, moving on. Amar Rish Lakish Mishun, now there's a different topic now. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Rish Lakish said the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Mekor Shene'ekar. If part of the uterus fell out, like a piece, I don't know exactly what they mean here, V'nafal La'aretz, and it fell onto the ground, Tme'ah, the woman is Tme'ah. Okay, it doesn't actually have to fall on the ground, it just comes out of her body like a little piece of something comes out. She's Tme'ah. Shene'emar, Yan Hishafech Nechushtech Batigali Ervatech. Talking about some part of the uterus, it sounds like, coming out, and her erva was revealed, so she's going to be tmeah. So now they want to say, lemai, right? The assumption is there's no blood here, okay? It's like a piece of the uterus coming out. Lemai, so what are we referring to? What kind of tumah? Ilem ala tumat shiv'a, if you're talking about tumat nida of 7 days, dam marachmana v'lo chaticha, has to be blood coming out and not a piece. Ela le tumat erev, it must be for tumat erev. Right? In other words, what's tumat erev? That's your tummy for the day. You tovel in the morning, and then you wait till the nighttime to be tahora. So you would just be tummy for a day. Another case where you're going to be tummy for a day, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mekor shehizia k'shnei tipei margaliot. If two drops come out of the, okay, hezia is like it sweats, but not exactly clear what this means. But again, these two drops come out of the uterus. They're clear or white drops. She's tume'ah. So again, they say lemai. What kind of tumah? Ilema letumat shiva. What do we learn? Chamisha damim tume'im b'isha v'tu lo. Only those five reddish or black shades are tume'im and not anything else. Ela letumat erev. It must be for tumat erev. V'dafka tarte. And dafka, notice they said, Hizia k'shtei tipei margaliot. So only two. Aval chada, in other words, obviously three, four, five, yes. But chada, if it's only one, ema me'al ma'atya. If it's only one, then we can assume maybe it came from the side of the uterus and not from inside the uterus. And therefore, we can say one, no, but two, yes. This is, by the way, a lot of halacha are like writing on Shabbat. You need to have two letters written. Right here, you need a minimum of two in order for it to be considered something. Kol hanashim mitamim bebeit achitzon. Now we're back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says the difference between women and their and bleeding and they're becoming a zava or a nida is different from the zava and the baal keri. The baal keri and the zava are only tamim when it comes out of their body, and the woman is tamei'ah when it gets to beit achitzon. So the obvious question is going to be, where exactly is beit achitzon? We're going to end up with an interesting way the rabbis try to discuss different places in the woman's vagina and where exactly we're going to say, and it's obviously going to be not particularly clear what they mean, and they're going to talk as if everybody knows what they're referring to, not so clear exactly what they mean. And the Mefreshim obviously grapple with what exact part are they talking about. It's just an interesting discussion, trying to figure out where in the woman's body are we referring to. Hey, new Beit HaChitzon. Where is this Beit HaChitzon? Amar Rish Lakish, Kol, and you're not going to like this image, Kol Shetinoket Yoshevet V'Nireit. If a child sits without, I guess they didn't necessarily wear underwear in those days, and it wasn't so... Right, she wasn't so sanua in the way she sat. So any part of the body that you can see, if a young girl is sitting, that would be the part that we call Beit HaChitzon. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, now, before we even get here, I just want to remind you, we have something called Tum'at Beit HaStarim. If there's Tum'at in a hidden place, like a sheretz touches something inside somewhere, like inside the woman's body, let's say a sheretz comes in contact, a sheretz carries Tum'at, touches a woman's body inside, that's not Tameh, it's called Tum'at Beit HaStarim. But there's a unique halacha by the woman that even though it's inside Beit HaStarim, we're going to say it's Tameh anyway. So now the question is, what they're going to, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, how could you say, Rish Lakish, that it's that spot where you would notice it on a young girl if she was sitting not Sanua? Rabbi Yochanan says, Otomakom galoy etzel sheretz. That's no chiddush. Even a sheretz would touch anything you can see on a child's body, or then again on a woman's body, if you know it was exposed, that would be considered external. So even a sheretz would be matame. El Amar Rabbi Yochanan ad bein hashinayim, until between the teeth. Okay, this is like again a metaphoric image of parts of her body until between the teeth. So now they don't explain exactly what this is. Like I said, the Mefreshim kind of grapple with where exactly are we talking about. I'm not going to get into the details. Okay, ibayelu. So now there's a question: bein hashinayim kilifnim o kilachutz. So what does it say? Ad bein hashinayim. Now, ad means when you're coming from the outside. So when you're coming from the outside, even though we're talking about blood coming from the inside, you have to understand it that way. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. So when you're looking from the outside, it would be not only the place where you would see, but further in until you get to the place called Bein HaShinayim. So now they say, what about Bein HaShinayim? What about actually the Bein HaShinayim? This said, until. What about the Bein HaShinayim Atzma? Are they kilifnim? Are they considered like inside, meaning if you saw blood there, she wouldn't be tmei'a yet? O kilachutz, or is it like the outside? Tashma. So let's learn it from here. Ditane Rabbi Zakkai. Rabbi Zakkai brought the braita that says, ad bein hashinayim. Now, ad means until. Therefore, they assume, bein hashinayim atzmam kilifnim. Okay, so it's only ad bein hashinayim, but bein hashinayim atzmam, we would say, would be like inside, and it wouldn't be matame. B'matnita tana, there's a different braita that describes it differently. Makom disha. So now the Gemara says, my makom disha, what is that? Amar Rav Yehuda, makom shashamash dash. It's the place where, when having sexual relations, that's the place where the penis goes into. Some people say this is exactly the same as Bein HaShinayim, it's just describing it in a different, using different terminology, right? Which makes sense in those days, right? They were trying to, they didn't have diagrams and medical descriptions, and they could say exactly, we call this area this and that area that, so they have to describe it in, it's kind of the same way they describe time.
How they describe everything.
Right? Exactly. Like, everything.
Color. It's all comparative.
Color, exactly. So this is their way of describing it, so it's possible they actually mean the same thing. Tanu Rabbanan. Bivsara melamed shemitama bifnim kibachutz. So now, where do we learn this whole thing that she's mitame inside? Because it says, dami yezova bivsara, in her flesh. That sounds like inside. So now, Ainli Ela Nida. Now that's the pasuk, even though the words were Zava, right? It's Ish, where is it? Isha, it's not written here. Yeah. Isha Kitiya Zava, Dam Yezova Bibsara. Okay, the dam will be, remember that word yihyeh, we're going to get back to that in a minute. Dam yihyeh zova bivsara. Okay, so in her, now that's talking about anida. So ein li ela anida, zava minayin. So how do we know by a zava? Because there also it says, Talmud Lomar, zova bivsara. It also says zova bivsara. So both of those are inside. Now, what about poletet shechvat zera minayin? Now we have an interesting question. We said that semen only is matame the man when it comes out of his body. But now, if we take it to the woman, a woman who's poletet shechvat zera, semen comes out of her body after having sexual relations, there could be some semen that comes out. If it comes out, so now it comes out to where? Would it be matame inside? Because a woman generally in nida and zava is matame even inside her body. So if it starts going down but doesn't actually leave her body, is she tmeah? Or is it only when she gets out? So they say, poletet shechvat zera minayin. How do we know that that's also matame bifnim? Talmud lamar, yihyeh. Okay, we learn from the word, I said, pay attention to that word, right? Yihyeh zovah, dam yihyeh zovah bivsara. It could say, dam zovah bivsara. It didn't have to say yihyeh. Yihyeh comes to include another case, not just nida and zava, but also poletet shechvat zera is going to be tameh, even if it's inside her body. Rabbi Shimon omer, daya keboala. Rabbi Shimon says, no way. She's no worse than the boel himself. It came from him. Camp, it's like Dayolavok Man Liot Kanidon, right? In other words, if you're gonna learn something from a Kavachomer, it's not gonna be any worse than that. Likewise, if you're gonna say you're Tmeah because you have the Shepatera, well, we're not gonna be Mitame any worse than he was. Ma bo'alai na mitame ajitse, tumalachutz, just like he wouldn't have been tame until it comes out. Apie na mitama ajitse tumatalachutz. So now they're gonna question Rabbi Shimon. Bisava Rabbi Shimon Daya keboala, does he really hold that? The Hatanya, it says in the following braita, "V'rachatzu b'mayim v'tamu ad ha'erev." Okay, you have to know the pasuk. This is a pasuk about a man and woman who sleep together, have sexual relations while she's in nida. Okay, ish asher yish. Sorry, no, not when she's in nida. This is just a regular pasuk. Sorry, my mistake. Vayikra tevav pasuk yudchet isha asher yishkav ish otah shechvat zera. We learned this pasuk a few days ago. If he sleeps with her and his semen comes out. Both become tameh for the day. So now they're going to say, right, so what did Rabbi Shimon say? She's only tameh if it comes out. But this seems to imply, right, Amar Rabbi Shimon, v'chi ma ze ba lelamdenu, what is this pasuk coming to teach us? Im le'inyan nogea b'shechvat zera, if we're trying to say that she touched shechvat zera, because while they were having relations, her body came in contact with shechvat zera, harek far ne'amar lemata, o ish. We already learned that from o ish. Okay, this is the pasuk. O ish asher teitze mimenu shechvat zera. That was the pasuk we saw before. Either he's a zav or he's an ish asher teitze mimenu shechvat zera, which they learn from there that any person who touches shechvat zera becomes tameh. So if the woman is tameh because she touched shechvat zera, well, we know that already from anyone who touches Shechvat Zera. She should be no different. She doesn't need a special pasuk for it. Therefore, what are they going to say? Ela mipnei shetumat beit hastarim hi. V'tumat beit hastarim eina mitama'a. Ela shegzera takatufu. What are we saying? No, she didn't touch it with her hands. It touched her body inside. Now, normally we said, beit hastarim, if tuma touches you inside your body, it's not going to be tameh. There's a special drasha here. That pasuk is coming to teach you. The Torah says she's going to be tameh when it's inside her body. Okay, so now what's our problem? Rabbi Shimon, according to this braita, says there's a special gzeirat katuv that she's tameh when the shechvat zera is inside her body and touches her inside. And he said just before that daya keboala, shechvat zera is only mitame the woman when it leaves her body. So what are we going to say? Kam b'mishameshet, kam b'poletet. There's a difference. The bride was talking about while they're having sexual relations. Then she's going to be mitama, even beit hastarim, special gzeirat katuv. It doesn't fit into our regular logical laws that we know about these things. But when it's after sexual relations and she's poleted and something comes to the shechvat zera, theoretically this happens, right? It comes out of a woman's body. And again, it has to be live still over the next 72 hours. Then we're going to say that's only when it actually leaves her body. Okay? So during the act of sex, it will be matame her immediately. When it comes out, it will only be matame her if it comes really out of her body and not inside still. So now they say, wait a minute. Poletet tepukle dehashimsha. So they say, wait a minute. She's only poletet shechvatzera if she has sexual relations. Well, she's already tmeah from having sexual relations, so there's no additional tumah when she's poletet. She's already tmeah. So what do they say? Dehash bishetavla l'shimusha. Right? It's when she went to the mikvah already from, right, let's say, they have sex at night, she goes to the mikvah in the morning, and then later that day, the next day, she is poletet shechvatzera. So then we're going to say she only has to go to the mikvah for that if it comes out of her body and not if it's inside her body. But then they say, lemeimra demishameshet betumat erev sagela. Wait a minute. You're saying that if she's mishameshet with her husband, she can go to the mikvah immediately the next morning? V'hamarava, now you wonder why not. Of course, she should. But Hamarava Mishameshet Kol Shlosha Yamim. Sorry, let's read it better. Mishameshet, someone who has sexual relations with her husband, Kol Shlosha Yamim Asura Lechol B'Tchuma. She Yefshala Shelo Tiflot. Since there's an assumption that she could be poletet shechvatzera, we don't let her go to the mikvah or itruma, let's say, right, for the first 3 days. And so according to this, it's usher for an itruma, which means she's not going to go to the mikvah. What's the point of going to the mikvah if she needs to wait, right? She's not, by the way, asur to her husband. It's not that kind of mikvah. It's mikvah for tumah, for being in touch, you know, accessing ta'alot and all that. Since at any given moment she can be poletet shechvatzera, we don't let her go to the mikveh basically until 3 days later. So there can't be a case where she's mishameshet and that she's already tme'ah. So she's not going to become tameh from being poletet shechvatzera, anything she wasn't already tme'ah. So here the Gemara is going to come up with an interesting answer. I'm having a hard time in my head understanding this perfectly. Ha ha b'mai. B'mayaskinan, I mean, I can understand it, but understand the reality of it. Hacha b'mayaskinan, she'd be lua b'mita. They toveled her in her bed. Okay, exactly what that means, not sure. They lowered her bed. I was thinking of those handicapped accessible mikvahs. You know, they lower you down in a chair. They lowered her somehow into the mikvah in her bed. And basically what it means is she stays in her bed for 3 days horizontal, and no shechvatzera is going to come out. Okay? How she's going to stay in her bed for 3 days, I don't know. But that's, okay. Let's put it this way. The biggest problem is who's doing all the work in the house, right? In those days, the woman was doing everything.
If she can't eat truma for 3 days, she's got a problem.
Right. She's also, she can't eat. Well, again, it depends. There is food for the quantity of the truma, but it's even more of a problem that she can't touch any of the food either. So I guess in terms of doing work in the house, maybe laundry, but you know, she can't really come in contact with the food. Michlal, dechika amar Rava, da'az le'iu bekare v'tavla. So now they say, so now they're going to have a different question on Rava. So from here you can say that when Rava said that she's tme'ah for 3 days, he was dafka talking about a case that she got up and went to the mikvah bekara'ah with her legs, meaning not in the bed, and toveled. Okay? So now the question is, if that's the case, Dilma Bahade de Ka'azla Shadita. Okay, what? So he's saying, one second, according to Rava, she has to wait the 3 days. Why does she have to wait the 3 days? Because maybe Shechvatzera will come out. Well, now they're assuming if she was walking to the mikvah, then the assumption is all the Shechvatzera would come out right then. Exactly. And therefore, why does he need her to wait the 3 days? The assumption is exactly the gravity will kind of take out all the Shechvatzera, and we shouldn't have a problem. Okay, we'll stop in the middle of this and pick up on it tomorrow for some interesting creative answers.